Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate so much you tuning in. We hope that you listen for the duration of the program, for it is our purpose to speak only those things that are found in God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question or a comment concerning something that we say on the program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to spend time and study it on the program, certainly we'd love to hear from you. Let us hear from you by contacting us either at the address given by the announcer or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. I want to remind you this morning that being the first day of the week, at 9:30, the East Abbotville Church of Christ that meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 will come together for a period of Bible study. At approximately 10:15, we will engage in worship services unto the Lord. We plan and claim to follow only those things that we find revealed in the pages of the New Testament, that which Jesus authorized the apostles, and we see the early church, the early Christians engaging in. Being the first day of the week, we will sing, we will pray, we will teach from God's Word, we will observe the Lord's Supper, and we will lay by in store as we've been prospered. These are the things that we are commanded to do in worship unto God, and in particular to be done upon the first day of the week. We urge you to come to be with us, bring your Bible, bring your family, and observe the things that we see and the things that we do, and compare that with only what the Bible teaches. We'll come together this evening at 5 o'clock, and we again urge you to come and to be with us as we engage in worship unto God. Tonight at 8 o'clock on this radio station, WBSA, there will be a radio program, a call-in radio program called Bible Crossfire. This is a 30-minute live program. Patrick Donahue will give you his phone number. You can call and speak to him directly. Give him your Bible question, and in return, expect only a Bible answer. So that's tonight at 8 o'clock on this radio station. If you're not able to pick up this station at 8 o'clock but have satellite radio capability, then tune to channel 131 on XM satellite radio, and you can hear Bible Crossfire. Also, if you're unable to at all come to the services of the East Abbotville Church of Christ either this morning or this evening or at 7 o'clock on Wednesday evening, we'd like for you to know that if you have access to the Internet and have a computer, have a smartphone or a tablet, log on to eastalbertville.org, and you will be able to both see and hear the Bible study and the worship period. Also, on the Facebook page, if you are a Facebook fan, we can find the East Abbotville Church of Christ and also the YouTube channel. Go to the East Abbotville Church of Christ YouTube channel. So here are three ways by which you can be able to both see and hear the Bible study and the worship periods: Sunday morning at 9:30, Sunday evening at 5, and Wednesday evening at 7. We urge you to take advantage of this opportunity. You know, when we talk with people about the Bible, we get a lot of unusual responses. Some will just right off of the bat say, "Well, I'm not interested in what you got to say." And it's easy to take that personal, but we shouldn't. It's not us that they are rejecting. It's the message, God's truth, that they reject. Another response from people is, "Just save your breath. I know where you're going with this. I want you to know I'm happy with my church. I'm happy with my religion. I'm happy with my relationship with God. You know, when you give some thought to this response, we realize it's coming from a closed mind. A closed mind never has, and it never will, turn to the Lord. In Mark 1, Simon, Andrew, James, and John came to the Lord and did not have that attitude. They could have said, I'm happy with my faith, I like my synagogue, and yet, despite their religion and despite their religious background, they immediately, verse 18 says, turned to the Lord. It was because they were looking for more than what they had. They were looking for something greater than what they had. It's in John 1, verse 38, Jesus asks, what are you seeking? In other words, what are you looking for? And in John 1, verse 29, we see that John the Baptizer said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John told his disciples when he saw Jesus, this is what you're looking for. This is what you're seeking. This is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And they immediately were drawn to Christ. Most people, and I don't know why this is, think that when Jesus lived on this earth, he came to minister to those that were not religious. People are heard to say, well, you know, you need to go talk to those unchurched people. Or you're only wasting your time with people who are religious. Really? You know, when Jesus was on earth, he approached religious people. In John 1, verse 47 of Nathanael, Jesus said, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. And in Luke 4, verse 16, Jesus went into the synagogues on the Sabbath and engaged the Jews. When his disciples went into all of the world, they approached religious people. Remember what Paul's manner was? It was to go into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. That we read in Acts 13, verse 14, and Acts 17, verse 2. So Jesus did not come into the world and die on the cross to make man religious. Religion has always been, ever since Cain and Abel offered their sacrifices, right on down to the time of Christ. The Jewish religion, it goes all the way back to when Moses delivered God's law to Israel at the foot of Mount Sinai. At the time of Christ, the Jews were divided and formed many religious sects or denominations, if you will. Pharisees were one such sect. It was the biggest. Sadducees were another. They were loyal to the temple. They were the Herodians, and they were loyal to the Herods, the Zealots. And they were against Rome being in Palestine. And the Essenes, although they're not mentioned in the Bible, they were hermits and they were loners. Besides these various sects of the Jews, we also have to consider the Samaritans in John 4, verses 3 through 20. They accepted the first five books of the Old Testament, and then there were the Gentiles, who are described in Romans 1 and verse 21 as those that changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. But they were religious. Remember Mars Hill, as it's called in the King James Version, and all of the idols that were there in Acts 17, verses 21 and 22? You know, I went over all of this to show us that religions were well established before Christ. And if the multitudes had remained loyal to their particular religions, they would have not been drawn to Christ. In fact, Luke 14 says that multitudes followed him. And we know from Acts 2 and verse 41 that 3,000 turned from their former religion and turned to the Lord. They were drawn out of religious organizations. They came from all of these that we've just mentioned a moment ago. So think about this. If these people had been happy, if they'd been content in their religion, they never would have come to the Lord. They didn't say, I don't want to talk to you about it. I'm happy where I am. I'm of the religion of my mom and dad and grandparents, and I don't want to hear it. You know, what if they had had that attitude? You know, Peter said in John 6, verse 68, that the Lord had the words of eternal life. Not the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians, and so forth and so on. If they had been content, they would have remained a Pharisee, a Sadducee, or whatever. So what does this mean for us today? Well, the world is full of religions today. There are religions throughout the world and in every culture. Even atheism is a religion. They have their beliefs. Buddhism, Confucianism, Hinduism, Judaism, and Islam, they're all religions. Have you ever seen those bumper stickers that spell out the word coexist with all of those religious symbols? Did you know why people believe that all of these religions ought to just coexist? It's because they believe that all that is important is just being religious. It doesn't matter which or what religion. One is just as good as another. So we'll just all coexist together. But friends, despite the existence of the world's religions, there are some truths that need to be understood. Romans 3, verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Friends, that's true despite all the religions that they are in the world today. It was true when the Holy Spirit had Paul to write it over 2,000 years ago with all of the religions that were in the world at that time. And then drop down to verse 23 of Romans 3. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. These truths, they need to be implanted in our minds. And despite the world's religions, we have sinned and we are short of God's glory. Luke 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. That's the purpose. That was the purpose for Jesus coming to this world. See, if religion is all that's necessary, then there's no need for Jesus to come, because there were plenty of religions in his day to get the job done. But he did not come just to establish another religion among the many that already existed. In 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. But religions were already here. Galatians 1 and verse 4, Jesus gave himself for our sins. And John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's in Matthew 11 and verse 29, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, that I will give you rest. See, this is despite all of the religions that are in the world then and now. But if people are happy in their Hindu faith, their Buddha faith, their Islamic faith, they'll never come to the Lord. World religions do not have an answer to the problem of sin. It is only Christ Jesus who has, John 6 and verse 68, the words of eternal life. Jesus Christ and Christ alone has the words of eternal life. And I know that's not politically correct to say, but only Christ, not Muhammad, not Confucius, not the Dalai Lama, and not Buddha. But if people are happy and content, that still doesn't solve the problem with sin. So now we come to another area, the area of Christianity, as we call it, Christian denominations. And in the name of Christianity, they are many. There are 33,000 Christian denominations in the world today. People in these denominations, they are religious. They've been raised in these denominations. They're very loyal to these denominations. And their system of belief has been passed down from generations to generations. And yet, despite the thousands of denominations that are in existence, remember that problem we spoke about a little earlier? It still continues to exist. There's none righteous, All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jesus' purpose is still needed today, and he is the only way. Yet people say they're happy, they're content in whatever church they're in, despite what that church teaches and practices. People say, well, I'm happy, I'm content with where I'm at. I'm wedded to my church. I love my church. Or, don't confuse me. Don't talk to me about the Bible. Or, the church where I go believes in the Bible. You can't tell me nothing that I don't already know. See, the same problem that exists in the religious world exists in denominations today. Sin. The problem of sin will never be properly addressed with any of these attitudes that we're hearing from people. Remember we said at the beginning of our lesson that people are closed-minded when they say, I'm happy with my church, I don't want to talk about it, I don't want to think about it, my mind is made up. Well, that's the same thing as saying, my mind is closed. But question, why are people so content that they don't want to discuss it? Well, one thing is, I believe people are happy to let someone else do their thinking for them. You ever heard somebody say, my church believes, or, you know, the church and the preacher tells them what to think and what to believe. Have you ever talked with someone and the conversation ends with the person saying, well, you know, I have to see what my preacher says about that. See, they don't have to think or to study. Just do what someone else tells them. Let someone else do the thinking for them. But 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. See, let our faith be based upon what the Bible says, not on what some church or what some preacher says. It's in Colossians 2 and verse 20 beginning, therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourself to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. See, Catholics let the church and the Pope do their thinking for them. And most Protestants believe that the Holy Spirit is leading them around in everything they do. So why bother to study when you have a personal guide directing your every step? Another reason, some people want to have a sense of belonging. That's why they join a club, a civic organization, lodges, and churches. Hardly any obituary you read, but what doesn't list some church or organization that that person belonged to. See, they feel a sense of security by belonging. And it's no different when it comes to a church. They don't have to be a real active member, but just knowing or being able to say that they are a member, that makes them happy. It makes them content. Well, ask yourself and give answers to these questions. Why are you a member of this church? Why do you believe and practice the things you do in religion? Why did you eat the Lord's Supper only on the first day of the week? Why did you sing and not insist upon the use of a mechanical instrument of music? Are the answers to these questions based on the church here doing the thinking for you, or is it because of your own study and convictions that have come from that study? See, there's more to this than just a matter of group identification. There's nothing wrong with questioning our faith and asking ourselves why we do what we do as long as we go to the Bible for the answer. Another reason people are content and don't want to hear it, as we say, it may offer something that is important to a lot of people, and that is social companionship. I am a member of this church because of its youth activities. I'm a member of the church because of all of the social get-togethers and the social activities. I'm a member of this church because somebody from this church is always calling me. I'm a member of this church because someone from this church is always coming to hold my hand when I'm blue. Or I'm a member of this church because somebody from this church is always looking after me. What's wrong with all this? It makes this thing called church all about me. It's what people are doing for me and not what I'm doing for the Lord. Now, don't misunderstand me. There is a degree of social companionship that is a part of the church's makeup. Acts 2 and verse 46, they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. So yes, they had their social companionship, but that was not primary. That was not at all primary. True Christianity is anchored in the person of Christ Jesus our Lord. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I've committed to him until that day. See, this is where true Christianity is anchored, and let us never forget it. We come to the Lord. We are called to him. Matthew 11 and verse 29, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Friends, that's what Christianity is all about. We are drawn to the Lord. We are converted to Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 14 and verse 9, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. When people are drawn to the Lord and want to follow the Lord and come to him, they'll be converted to Christ. In Matthew 18 and verse 3, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of God. John 3 and verse 5, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. When we are converted to Christ, he will add us the same way he did the people in Antioch. In Acts 11 and verse 24, a great many people were added to the Lord. And just like those in Acts 2 and verse 47, they were added to the church by the Lord. So see, we're added to the Lord. We're added to his church. We're added to his kingdom. We become citizens of his kingdom. We are children in his family. But it's always about him and not me. And we must be a part of the local group of saved believers, the local church, through which we all are to function to bring glory and honor to him. In Acts 9, beginning our reading with verse 26, and when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out. But again, the local church is all about the Lord and not me. The life that I live, like Paul said in Galatians 2 and in verse 20, he said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Friends, you know what this means? It means that everything I do in the local church is based on my relationship with the Lord. We love others. Why? Because we love the Lord. We serve others. Why? Because we serve the Lord. So don't we see the connection here? People that are just interested in being religious, they're not interested in this. They aren't really interested in what service to the Lord is all about. I'm not interested. Don't talk to me. I'm happy just where I am. And you know, every time that I stand before the local church and extend an invitation, I'm not asking folks to switch organizations. I'm asking them to switch allegiance and come to the Lord. He's promised to give us rest from our problem with sin. Yes, He will forgive you of your sins. Yes, He will add you to the church, His body. Yes, you can become a part of the local body through which to work and to fulfill your responsibility and worship to the Lord. But it's all about Him. So do you need to switch allegiance and give it to Christ? You can do that through faith that comes by the hearing of God's word. Romans 10:17 tells us how faith comes. And Hebrews 11:6 tells us how important faith is. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But friends, there's no verse in the Bible that says that faith only saves, like you hear so much said. Yes, it takes faith. It's impossible to please God without it. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we're not going to hear the word of God unless we're willing to hear all of what the word of God says and what to do to be saved. In addition to the fact that it takes faith to save and to please God, in addition to the fact that it is through the hearing of God's word that faith is produced, Jesus said, except you repent, you will perish. So Jesus put a condition in addition to faith that we must repent. That's in Luke 13:3. There's another condition that Jesus places upon our salvation, forgiveness of sin. He said in Matthew 10:32, except you believe that I am He, you shall die in your sin. But He also says, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. If you deny me before men, I will deny you. How do we confess or deny? Well, one way we certainly deny is by failing to do what Jesus says. That's like Jesus said in Luke 6:46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? And another condition that Jesus put upon our obedience for the forgiveness of sin is baptism. Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So again, I'm not asking you to switch organizations. I'm asking you to switch your allegiance and give it to Christ. And you can do that through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism. We urge you to consider these things. Examine them, not because I've said them. Don't accept anything because any preacher says it. Me or anyone else. Accept it only when and if you can find it upon the pages of God's Word. Then and only then, let your faith be established upon the Word of God. We see your time is gone. We certainly appreciate you listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. And it's till then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we turn you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 AM and Sunday at 8:30 AM. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 AM for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock PM. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbottville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.